I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Joe Kinnear and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Welcome aboard. I'm Michael and I'll be your pilot for your journey.
Difficult to put it into words, really.
Hush your gums, it's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you here. Ooh, Jim's here.
Hello.
Pete.
Oh, yeah!
And Luke.
All right.
And so am I, Marcus. We've all survived Survival Sunday.
And the Rapture.
And that as well, which was perhaps the bigger of the two. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo broke another record. It's the Spanish league goal-scoring record. He scored 40 goals this season, which is bloody ridiculous.
That is obscene, isn't it, in a league season?
That's not in all competitions.
I'm almost offended by it.
Well, get offended by this. Which record would you like to see broken next season, Jim?
I would quite like to see Liverpool knock Man United off their perch. Quite nice if they could get up to 19.
Yeah, so equal the record. Yeah.
The arms race.
Imagine that. It seems unlikely from where we're sitting now, but yeah. It would be pretty funny.
But how are they going to knock them off their perch? They'd have to win two titles in 1 year.
They'd take that. they'd take the levelling.
No, they'd climb upon the same perch, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
What a perch it would be.
They're going on about their sort of their European success being the real perch, aren't they? Yeah. So
there's a joke here about having a team on James Perch.
Yeah,
Newcastle.
I was thinking more like
nobody's going to hang a team off James Perch anytime soon.
I was thinking more like the fish.
Yeah,
like a perch.
It works.
Not really.
I would like to see Mario Balotelli spend more time in a bib. I'd like it to break the time record.
Oh, well, right,
like 3 hours in a bib. Trying to get it on.
For a minute there, I thought it was a ridiculous answer, but you saved it by saying time record in a bib.
Actually, I mean, do we know how long it took him to get it off?
It was a good 2 minutes.
He struggled with getting it on, didn't he? I don't know.
I'd have thought that would have been a record in itself. But then he could break his own record, I suppose. Mm.
All right. The record for wearing a bib incorrectly.
Yeah.
All right. It's a very specific record.
It's a very specific record.
Yeah. Unlikely to be broken next season, but never say never.
Break your first in a minute.
That'll do, Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Stop this macho man nonsense.
Luke,
have some respect.
I'd like to. My personal ambition would be for one of us to go on television next season and break the record for the tightest trousers. Currently held by Jamie Redknapp.
Terry Wogan.
No.
Come on, Redders.
Okay, yeah, Redknapp. Redknapp pisses all over Wogan.
Mm. Wow. And you've got to see it.
Yeah. Enough super injunction about that. I can't say that. But I think that it's a very tall order.
Yes.
But we're taller, we can do it. One of us should go on there and try and break the tight trouser record.
Yeah? Which one of us do you think would be the most likely?
You've got very, very chunky thighs, so probably you, I'd say.
Yeah, but Pete wears the tightest trousers.
That's true. Yeah,
no, but you know, the trousers, we can take the trousers to the man.
Yeah, all right, Marcus, you in Pete's trousers. Now you're
talking. There we go.
That would break it. That means nothing to the imagination.
Fair enough. Pete,
I've got rather sizeable thighs for a man so short, I think.
Disagree.
Pete, you're the same height as me and my thighs are bigger than you. So
look at them.
Your argument doesn't fly, dog.
Both of our female listeners would be happy with you wearing those trousers, Marcus.
Do you think?
Yeah.
But Jimbo would be the most likely to do it, though. It would be put up to it, I think.
I don't know. I don't really wear skinny jeans. I'm just fatter than you realise.
Fair enough. I'd like to see a record number of FA Cup winners. I'd like to see two teams win the FA Cup. No, that's
a bold statement.
I'm only being silly. I'd like to see the record for the most amount of streakers on a pitch at one time.
What is the record for that?
Probably one.
Is it?
It would be called an orgy, wouldn't it?
An orgy
of streaking.
People start bonking.
If there's a dog on the
bonking!
Pitch.
Bonking!
If there's a dog on the pitch, does that count? Because dogs are naked.
You get them all on there.
Yeah.
Kev Marlon there.
They are the Ramble Records for next season.
Going out with a bang, aren't we?
Yeah. Anyway, moving on swiftly to Survival Sunday.
Next week's the last show, so. Every cloud.
There was a relegation run-in.
I hadn't noticed.
Some teams got relegated, others didn't.
If you're in the championship, you'd be like, piss off, Sky.
Yeah.
They make Survival it- Sunday!
Yeah. They do make it sound
if
like...
If you get relegated, you might as well be dead.
Yeah. Relegated from the sport itself.
Relegated from life.
But is it days like that where you miss Grey?
No, it's days like that.
Me!
Exactly.
A man hewn from Hyperbole.
It is days like those where I'm gladder than ever that he's gone.
Do you think?
Oh, God, yeah.
Not even in a sort of you can laugh at them kind of way.
It was grating. Yeah. At the end. Yeah.
Wigan said, we're not going down today. I look at my job and my life. It's amazing.
I don't miss that. I don't miss the man just being smug about his life.
Oh, dear. No, I really mean that.
It's one of my highlights of the season.
Yeah. What, that?
No, the keys and grey thing. Just, it's brilliant.
Right, highlights of the season next week for the last show. All right. The season, yeah.
Giving yours away, though. Mm. Oh, dear. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Shall we begin, officially or unofficially? There were people who went down. Blackpool were one of them, and Birmingham were the other.
Mike Alone's a shit, isn't he? What a twat.
I wanted them to put a banner out when they scored that last goal and go, yeah, well done, they're 13.
Awful set. Awful,
did
man.
Did you see Piers Morgan on Twitter?
No.
God, having a go, yeah.
It's not just Michael Owen he's been having a go.
He's the worst human on earth.
He is, I hate him. He's a one-man ballet.
He's
doing
pretty good value this week, the last week, though, hasn't he?
He's got his own little, like, not chat show, but little...
Well, it's one of the biggest chat shows in America, yes.
Yeah. Well, no, but would you call it a chat? It's on CNN.
Well, it's like a talk show, isn't it?
It's not chat.
It's the Larry King show.
Yeah, exactly.
After Larry King.
But he's always having a go at people on there. I don't think it's just footballers. Well, it's just...
Didn't he say, like... What did he say? You know you're rubbish when bench warmer Owens scores.
Yeah, something. No, he... Like, Michael Owen called him a twat or something like that. So he said, well, at least I'm a twat that can, like, earn a decent day's living or something like that. It's just
Owen's
leave him alone.
The problem is, Piers Morgan, he doesn't know anything about football, but he's used his, like, influence and his presence and said, oh, I'm a bit of a football fan as well, write this really ill-informed, horrible columns about football when he knows nothing about it.
He wrote a book about Arsenal's season, the unbeaten season as well. Imagine how smug that is.
Oh, God. That's an Arsenal fan saying that. You know.
Very true. Right then, anyway, back to the relegation run in Manchester United 4, Blackpool 2.
Absolutely devastated for Ian Everett.
Yeah, same, yeah.
Do you know what? Ever present
for him this season he's been.
Yeah, well, the worst thing is about watching the highlights later on that evening when you see Blackpool going mental when they went 2-1 up, and then you see Birmingham going mental when I think it was Gardner scored a great goal to the equaliser. And you're thinking, yes, this is it.
Gardner's a local lad as well,
yeah,
isn't he?
And you just think, oh, no.
But the difference between, like, McLeish, Grant, and Ian Holloway looked absolutely destitute. He looked
I thought Alex McLeish looked like he was going to cry at one point.
You really?
I thought he did.
He knew. His look, you see, I think the others, like, for example, Mick McCarthy, when they went 3-0 down, he looked like, oh, crap, what, we're in real trouble. Whereas McLeish, it was a look of, that's it. He knew.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But one of the things I was going to say about Holloway, Jeff Shreves was up in his grill.
Oh, right, Jeff Shreves is another one that annoys me.
Yeah, and the thing was, I know Ian Holloway invites it a little bit.
Well, spent a good 10 minutes on Shreves, if you
want. Well, yeah, and Ian Holloway is almost like someone who's a bit of a court jester.
Yeah,
but he invites the conversation a little bit. But he's a Premier League manager. Yeah. He's earned his right to be there.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, and he said, and Jeff Shreves decided to like him. And then bear in mind, this is 5 minutes after he's just been relegated from the Premier League. You know, on one of the biggest days of his professional life. And Jeff Shreves says, oh, well, you almost like patted him on the head. You've been a breath of fresh air this season. And Ian Holloway was like, well, it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't mean anything. What are you saying that
to
me
for? Probably shouldn't have got used to it, you know?
Yeah.
You were basically a novelty.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be back one day, maybe you won't.
Like watching a dog with spectacles on. It's not right.
Yeah.
How do you get them?
It's true.
Yeah, I'd like to see Jeff Reeves off the telly, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see him fall out of my TV.
But he's not. Is that the one where he's following Aiden down the touchline?
Yeah, that's
yeah, yeah. That would be it.
He's not even on the telly that much. He's more off the camera. But when he comes on the telly, you're a bit like, oh. Yeah.
No, but you know, like,
is that what he looks like?
Yeah. No, but you know, like, in some of the best.
Annoyed I bought that 3D telly.
Some of the best horror films, you don't actually see some of the nasty stuff.
He's like Jaws.
And it makes it worse.
Alien. It's not Alien. He's probably got another little Jeff Reeves mouth down his throat that speaks more bollocks.
That just bites the Premier League emblem off the Blackpool City shirt. I'm having that back. You're nothing now. You're nothing. Yeah. And Ian Holloway probably went to Jeff Reeves.
Scoodle will have that.
Yeah. Holloway probably said to Shreves after the interview, yeah, I'll see you later. And Shreves went, no, you won't. Not for at least a year.
I'm Hollywood.
Yeah. I can't argue with any of that. So, yeah, shame to see black. But what about Wolves, though? Have you ever seen a goal, you know,
yeah.
so celebrate? Naughty. Have you ever seen a goal celebrated so much when it was to peg the other team?
Odd, wasn't it? It was really, really
great
weird.
Goal from Stephen Hunt.
Yeah. Because at that point, that goal kept them up on goal score, didn't it?
Yes.
At that point.
Well,
incredible.
That's why Birmingham had to go forward, and then, of course, Pavlyuchenko scored another great goal.
I've never known it so close. It's great.
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I like Wolves as well. I'm glad they managed to stay up.
I think more than I like Wolves, I like Mick McCarthy, and I like the way that they've could do themselves. Certainly at home, they've played so well against massive teams. And
yeah, they have.
Molyneux's been a bit of a.
Pete, did you see Ella Kobe in the post match interview with McCarthy?
No.
McCarthy was doing a post.
Oh, yeah, I did. I saw that.
And someone from off the camera squirted him with water. And you had him go, oh, come on, gaffer. And it was Ella Kobe, and he came along. And McCarthy grabbed him and said, oh, I'd have done him. If it wasn't George Ella Kobe, I'd have done him for that. Pulled Ella Kobe's shirt up. Specimen.
Yeah. Yeah.
As Marcus would say, a lorry load of units.
Matt Riley had about
a 14 pack.
Yeah.
Not a 6 pack.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Cracking egg on
I feel like we're
James.
Really getting to the nub of the footballing issues today.
Yeah, I really do
Look
think
at that chest.
Yeah.
And Wigan are a Premier League barnacle.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there.
At least for Martinez, though.
Yeah.
He seems like a real classy manager.
Yeah, he does.
Mm. They've come close to going down pretty much every season.
7 years they've been in the Premier League now. Something.
There was a brilliant shot when it went when Alex Ferguson was about to do a big speech, and he basically just cleared his throat. He went, ugh! And Sky cut straight to Martinez for some reason. obviously, it's probably more of an important press conference or interview, but it was just great the way that Alex Ferguson did it. He was going, and here's Alex Ferguson, he's standing with his microphone, and he just goes, ugh! And then just goes and cut straight to Martinez. Boring.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I can't believe Birmingham have gone down.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. I mean, they basically just switched off after the Carling Cup final.
Oh, didn't awful. They?
Like Arsenal. Yeah.
Well, no, Arsenal switched off during the Carling Cup final.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But Birmingham have scored 37 goals this season. That's less than one a game, and they won 8 games. Mm.
Yeah, but I think even McLeish, I think even before the last day, they probably just thought, no, we won't go down. You know, it was
almost
like,
it seemed like that.
Bloody hell, we're in this mess.
Yeah.
They lost Scott Dan, who's a massive loss for them, and Nikola Zigic as well, who's their big.
Oh, they've had injuries, without a doubt. Yeah. But I
love to see a championship team in Europe, though.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
It's my favourite.
There's still
thing.
A chance of Blackpool being there. So Blackpool and Birmingham could both be there.
Oh, brilliant.
Incredible.
Fly the flag,
yeah. You hate Birmingham anyway, Jim. You said it last week.
Well, no, he hated them.
I hate the way they destroy our season every year.
Yeah,
it's our fault, not theirs.
That much is true. Arsenal, they finished with a 2-2 draw against Fulham. Gira sent off. Now, that may hinder Fulham's possible Europa League entry. Although I think it's on Thursday that we'll find out who get in. But the points are awarded on a number of factors, not just yellow and red cards. It's also so-called positive play.
Right.
That basically
crap.
Means they can award it to whoever they want.
Yeah. And it's just like whether you say please and thanks.
Yeah.
And also, isn't there something about the way like the club staff conduct themselves?
That's right, yeah.
Is this why Mark Hughes is so fussed about handshakes?
I think so.
Just make sure he wants to get in one every game. Just to idea.
There was an interesting stat, and it may have been like Rafa Honigstein or another one of the journalists who said that, like, in the last sort of six games, or Fulham's last six games, or however, you know, they've picked up more yellow cards than they had in the previous.
Are you calling her?
Well, because I don't want to be in it. Is that what you're saying?
It just seems very, very odd. They've had far more yellow cards in the
is
last.
Is that why
handful.
They put that Michael Jackson statue up?
I think so.
They'll never let us in with this.
I think that they don't want Europe seeing that. But Guerra goes flying in and gets a red card.
It's
which
awful
is unlike
challenge
him
as well.
Mark Hughes, I mean, if they did want the Europa League, should be telling them to take it easy. It's
Mark Hughes
game.
Is being sick on the pitch. And
Mark Hughes doesn't know how to do that though, does he? He's too manly.
Does it not strike you as a bit odd?
I understand what you're saying. Yeah,
it is unusual. Yeah.
I think that you're sailing very close to the libel wind, personally.
Really? Right. Well, let me.
When in Rome,
yeah, it is a football ramble. But yeah. Unfortunately, though, for Fulham fans, Mark Hughes did say that he thinks John Pansil will likely to move on in the summer.
No, that will decimate them.
I hope he stays in the Premier League because I love the
what a blow.
Love the lap of honour at the end.
Is he going to find anywhere with a smaller pitch? Yeah. He's increasing that run, really, isn't he?
But to be fair,
it's going to take ages off his career.
I've been to Craven Cottage where I've sworn he's been reserving energy for that lap. Like last 10 minutes. He should be tracking there, really. I've got a lap when I was doing it a minute. Everyone's counting on me.
Did you see Thomas Vermaelen's clearance off
that's
the
brilliant
line against Fulham?
That was wonderful.
That's what we've missed.
Yeah. Bobby Zamora scoring as well.
Yeah.
And Bobby Zamora and David Stockdale, two Fulham players in the England
squad.
Yeah.
Mm.
Can you believe that, James?
Yes.
I think I read on Up to Joe that David Stockdale's got the best shots to saves percentage in the Premier League.
Yeah. He's only played a couple of games, but he's a decent keeper.
I think he's great, yeah.
Well, he's got his phone number as well, haven't he?
Yeah. I sometimes ring it.
Davey! And he never picks up.
No, hang up.
Yeah. Now then, the big news from the Arsenal camp is Mad Jens is considering staying on another season.
I know. I mean,
is it up to him?
Yeah, exactly.
is
it a decision he's made himself?
Is
I don't
that
know.
Smile, James?
I am absolutely pro Jens.
You know what they've done? They've done it like when Begbie comes to stay at Renton's place in Trainspotting. There's no getting rid of him.
Yeah,
he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think
a truly wonderful analogy there. Mm.
It could be very positive for Wojciech Szczesny to have him there because apparently he does give him a lot of advice and stuff like that. So
Almunia's gone.
Yeah, Almunia's going to be. I really hope Almunia's on the way, I must say. No, because he's one of those players that just. It might as well move him on now. You know,
should Wenger be pillaging West Ham? Green, Upson, Parker?
Well, Upson.
Jesus, no.
Oh, come on. He's.
Upson's out of contract. He's out of contract.
Yeah, Upson's not the player he was.
Green's off to Villa, apparently. Yeah. I read this morning.
I wouldn't want Green.
Parker,
yeah. Perhaps.
He'll go to Spurs.
He's a great player, but I just don't know. Will he fit at Arsenal? Will he want to come there? Will it work out like that? You know, it's a completely different style. The way Arsenal plays, the way West Ham play.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, Jim, actually, get an Arsenal fan sort of perspective on it, is the fact that Arsene Wenger let club captain Cesc Fabregas go to the Spanish Grand Prix rather than travel with the squad to Fulham for the last game of the season. I know he's injured, but he's club captain.
It knocks of an entire squad from top to bottom that has knocked off. You know what I mean? They just thought, fourth will be all right. We said last week on the show, actually, that it looked like Arsenal could face a very, very tough fixture in the qualifier for the Champions League. But that's not actually the case because Arsenal would be seeded. I thought the rule had changed.
Yeah, I did as well.
But apparently we were wrong about that.
But that's crazy letting him do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's got a responsibility. Yeah. I mean, when you're a club captain, you don't just... You're not just captain on the pitch.
That's right. Hmm.
And as I said on the ITV show, which was on earlier, that his agent is going to be using that fact that he's club captain to negotiate new deals and stuff like that for more money. So he should take more responsibility.
I would say
no.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
I've heard recently that he's been very distant within the squad,
right,
and not sort of how he used to be around the training ground. So maybe I don't know. Maybe he's just Wenger's just conceding that he's off. I don't know. Right. Who knows? It's an odd one. Danielson wants out as well, doesn't he? And there's talk of Bentner going. I think Danielson's another one along with Almunia. Just it's not worked out. Get rid of him.
Well, yeah, Bentner's father said that his son will be leaving. He said there's real interest from both English and German clubs, and Bayern Munich were after him earlier. It's very exciting.
I bloody love Bentner at Newcastle. I really would.
Yeah.
Him playing up by himself. Yeah. That's all he needs. He needs a club where he's a focal point.
And where he can play every game as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barton feeding him crosses.
His record isn't too bad, actually. His goals to appearances. He gets double figures every season.
Mm. That's all you need. Do you see Wilshere was pulled out of the under-21s squad after Wenger presented him with sports science data.
Yeah.
Really?
I quite like the idea of like him, I'm not getting involved with the science business. I can't be asked to read this.
Maybe that's his thought there.
But memories are more important than maths.
As a wise man once said.
Yeah.
Man City, they finished third, of course, above Arsenal. Craig Bellamy's going to return to the club.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Really.
Yeah. Yet another mental...
Well, if Tevez is off, though, you'd sort of think that...
Who was going to sign him?
No, but Bellamy's going back. He was only on loan. That's the way.
But
it
do you think Bellamy will fancy a crack at the Champions League then?
Who, Bellamy?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you got to think that. Yeah, no, I realised that he was only on loan, and yeah, he was technically going to be coming back. But the way that he left was very much, I am never coming back.
He'd gone off to play for his hometown club, hadn't he? Yeah. Looked like. Do you think it's just motivated by the fact that Cardiff didn't get up? And he thought, I'm not sticking around another season.
I think, well, yeah, they look as though they're going to lose a few players. Bothroyd's one of them.
But the problem, the rod for their own back that Man City make is that. They sign players on massive deals, long-term deals, for a lot of money, and so it becomes very difficult to then move those players on because the players think, well, I'm not going to take a huge pay cut.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you look at Carlos Tevez, what's he going to cost? 40 million? Yeah. And who's going to cover his 200-odd grand a week wages?
That's right.
Where's he going to go? He said he wants to go to Italy, but there's no one going to pay him.
That's said, ideally, not closer to his family.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it's literally further away. Yeah. He said, ideally, he'd play for Boca, but there would be financial issues, I think. It's
just huge.
Can't he move his family here?
I'm not sure what the ramifications are. I don't know what the ramifications of that would be.
Well, Mancini was asked about him, and Mancini just went, he's on contract.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah. But it's true, there's nothing really more to say at that point, is there? You know?
Yeah, the club are not going to suddenly go, go on, off you go. Yeah.
Get Shreves on this.
He's a one man transfer saga, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is.
Wherever he goes, he's going somewhere else.
I love him as a player, but as a person, he's got a lot of issues, aren't he?
Yeah. Mm. Very much so.
But I suppose he's absolutely within his rights to be conflicted at the moment if he's got a family issue such as that.
Yeah.
But then if he's talking about going to Italy, you sort of think, well, that's clearly the tax issue, possibly. Yeah. Make more, possibly, if he moved.
Who knows?
Interesting.
It'll be an half tax, won't it?
Everton beat Chelsea. Great goal from Beckford.
It was. What a run. He had a couple of opportunities to score some great goals, didn't he?
He did.
Fluffed them both. In fact, one shot went out for a throw.
Yeah, I saw that.
With some nice kind of build up play as well, but it was a good goal. He got a bit lucky with the sort of bounce getting over for him, but it was great.
He carried on through, and perhaps it was that result that got Ancelotti the sack.
On the bus.
Yeah. I heard it was in the corridor.
Oh,
like at the ground.
Off the bus.
Why are they so keen to get rid of these managers like Avram Grant? Why not get back to the club, call him in the office, etc., etc.?
Get the replacement. Well, they've probably already got the replacement.
There's talk of Hiddink, isn't there?
Yeah.
Being actually.
Well, Hiddink didn't want to. Well, he knew it was short term when he was in charge before, but he enjoyed his time there.
He's made noises that he would be willing to do it full time, apparently.
The Chelsea players love Hiddink as well.
But Van Basten's a big name being touted around there.
But is Van Basten really.
He's not as experienced as Ancelotti. No one could argue he's as good as Ancelotti as a manager.
Well, it's a pretty large disgrace. I'd like to see Ancelotti I'd like to see him in England again, because I think he's an excellent manager. There's going to be so many times you can sort of say, oh, he inherited a great club, a great squad at Milan and Chelsea. It's always. You can't use that excuse every time. He won the bloody double last year.
They had that horrible slump. He pulled them out of it. They looked like they were going to compete again. He had Torres foisted upon him. You know, it's not
Wilkins
his fault that that didn't work out.
Yeah, Wilkins taken from him as well.
Yeah,
his dad died at the start of the season. You know what I mean? Yeah. All these things aren't—they're not great.
Yeah,
it's not ideal, is it?
No,
far from ideal. We haven't mentioned Blackburn, of course. They survived. Steve Keane got them to safety.
Mm.
And it's funny, he said we saved our best 45 minutes to the last day of the season. You know, 3-0 up against Wolves. Absolutely incredible.
I'm not even a proper manager.
Yeah.
He literally isn't a proper manager, Steve Keane.
So you wouldn't consider him for manager of the season then?
No.
Who would you, though? I've drawn up my little shortlist. I don't know if you agree with it or not.
Tautology there.
Roberto Mancini.
Okay.
Alex Ferguson. Kenny Dalglish. Tony Pulis.
Dalglish hasn't managed the entire season, so he can't be considered in my opinion.
And Ferguson, I mean, if he wins next week, I guess.
Yeah, I would go with Ferguson there purely for just, you know, being the only manager with consistency. They didn't lose a game at home.
They were a bit
dodgy away, but...
But what about Mancini, though? I mean, he's got them into third place.
Yeah, he's overachieved, hasn't he, Mancini? Because, you know, it was top four finish was the minimum requirement, wasn't it? He did that and gave him the FA Cup.
And there's this kind of thought that, oh, well, he's got loads of money. Yes, that helps, but you've got to manage those players.
Yeah, and make it work.
The great thing about Ferguson's home record is that even if they lost every single game away from home this season, they still would have come seventh. Mm. They've got 55 points at home this season.
Incredible.
It's
crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely marvellous, that is.
And Pulis, I mean, he got him to a final and stuff. I mean,
He's done a good job, Pulis, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it's stability, isn't it?
It's pretty much the same finish as he got last season. It's like 1 point less than last season. I think they were trying to aim for a little bit more. I think he's disappointed with the last couple of results after the.
Yeah.
Why is no one mentioning Wenger? It's bloody conspiracy from you lot.
Cup final.
Yeah,
it's very true.
Pardew?
Will there be a few war chests? qualify.
Oh, here's hoping. I've got my fingers crossed.
Well, I don't know, mate. The war chest is surely going to diminish with the new financial rules coming in. It's just creeping up, isn't it?
Come on.
Although it does seem that everyone's just ignoring
it. Yeah, they are. It's brilliant.
When does it also... It all kicks off next season.
Next season, yeah.
QPR will have a war chest.
Yeah, QPR will, in fact.
And they need...
They could be major players.
Do you know...
There's talk of... They've been linked with people like Peter Crouch. And like Michael Owen could end up there. Like, Michael Owen... Legitimately, wages won't be a problem for them. If they've got the money they claim to have.
Well, they could get someone like really... Joe Cole or something.
Yeah.
They could get a few... Apparently Rangers, the defender Buhari, has been linked to the club. And he said that right now I have an important game in Morocco to play, but
haven't we all?
Yeah. Stop interviewing me now, it's inappropriate. I'm marking someone at a corner.
He said it's too early to talk about my future. I still belong to Rangers, but if a Premier League club contacts me, I will start discussions. After the game in Marrakesh, my phone will begin to ring.
Who's that, Vieira? Yeah?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's the moment he'll turn it on. Now then, AFC Wimbledon. They're in the Football League.
They've done it, haven't they?
Absolutely incredible. It was only in 2002 when they had their first competitive fixture in the Combined Counties League.
Oh, I've achieved so little in that time.
Yeah, I know. They've done really well. That's, yeah. That's 9 years. And what have you done in the last 9 years?
Join this shit tip. For sure.
Yeah. Wow.
It was a really dramatic entrance to the Football League for them as well.
Beating Luton.
On pens.
Luton just can't get out of there.
I know. And I think it's fair to say that the difference between the top of the conference and the bottom of League Two isn't that great. And the conference teams are pretty much all full time now anyway, so they could have a decent stay in League Two.
It's been such an incredible rise, and I think just everyone's behind them, because it's just such a horrible injustice with what happened to them, really.
How good will it be, because they will end up in the same division as MK Dons sooner.
Yeah. Well, the thing is though, the only thing that becomes a problem is the infrastructure after a while. They'll need to move to a slightly bigger stadium, that sort of stuff, and that might be difficult
for them. They've got excellent support though.
What they could do
is just move to another city where there's sort of better facilities and stuff like that.
Like a new city, like a new town or something.
Make a note of that and put an email to them. I think they'd love to hear about
it's
that.
It's like they did in America.
Paolo Di Canio named Swindon Town manager.
Correct.
I've got that one right.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
That's going to end in tears.
Yeah.
Is it?
No, that's
tears.
That will bring us some joy.
I hope so.
Well, I think he'll do okay.
There's already talk of him using all his contacts to get players on loan and all sort of stuff like that.
Oh, there'll be some old Italian.
Swindon Town have had some managers. They had Hoddle.
Hoddle?
Yeah. It's great stuff.
Player manager, I was kind of hoping for, actually.
I think he might be tempted.
How old are you now?
I don't know, late 30s?
Evergreen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evergreen.
Evergreen. Is that on his passport?
Ever black shirt.
Yeah. Ever fascist.
Speaking of evergreen, Gary Neville.
Well, he's retired.
Yeah. and he was rubbish for some time.
Yeah. It was a classic example of you should have really retired a while ago.
Speaking of evergreen, David Beckham.
Better.
Have I got that right this time? It's Gary Neville's testimony. It will have been done by the time this comes out.
It's got Ian Brown singing This Is The One, hasn't he?
He's got him!
Yeah, yeah, apparently so, yeah.
Sky have been hyping it as Testimonials Tuesday.
They really?
Genuinely, it's amazing.
Oh, God.
Oh, but yeah, David Beckham's going to be back at Old Trafford.
Followed by Warm Down Wednesday. Hey? Live coverage, tune in.
Thrilling Thursday. David Beckham's back at Old Trafford playing with some of the other players from the Class of 92.
Apparently he's missing an LA Galaxy league game for that, which they're not going to be very happy about.
That is awful. That is unforgivable.
No, James, that's brilliant.
But according to Gary Neville, Alex Ferguson reckons that he's that Alex is going to use this testimonial as a warm up game
for the Champions League. Giggs is going to turn up.
They're playing Juve, and Del Piero will probably play.
Yeah. So there's talk of Giggs and Skulls playing. Who could both feature on Saturday? Yeah,
well, the point that Gary Neville actually made about the Champions League final is that they, like a couple of years ago, they had players that hadn't played much. Mm-hmm. So he probably will let them have a bit of a run.
Maybe Darren Fletcher, something like that.
Why not do it after the final?
Seems like a weird time to do it.
Robbie Savage was in that class in 92, I think.
Yeah, he'll play and break one of their legs.
I've heard Robbie Savage mention that, yeah. Every time I've ever heard him speak.
Hey, lads! Here I am! I brought me belts and everything!
He did indeed. Scottish Cup final, Celtic beat Motherwell 3-0 to win their 35th Scottish Cup.
Is that this season?
Pete, didn't it?
I texted Marcus drunkenly at 4:30 in the morning going, 35 cups are too many cups for one club. So many.
What did I reply?
No, it isn't. Don't be silly. Etc.
I saw that game. It was actually a really good game. Key scored an dinger from downtown. Ball came across him about 35 yards out and he drilled it in the bottom corner. It could have been different for Motherwell because I had a decent hit off the underside of the bar. If that had gone in, I think it was at 1-0. If that had gone in, could have been a different story. But
could have been 3-1.
Celtic deserved to win. No, they really did deserve to win. Yeah, can't take anything away from it.
Exactly. Now, La Liga, Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, has scored 40 goals in the Spanish league season.
Don't rate it.
Which is
what's he won though? What trophies has he got this season?
Spanish
the Pichichi and the Spanish Cup. Fair point.
Yeah.
So sorry, carry on.
He scored the winning goal in the final as well.
Yeah.
Off his back.
Good header. Speaking of good headers, Lescott scored a goal.
He did.
Just hit him right in the face. Ball came over. Did you not see it, Jimmy?
No.
Ball came over.
Yeah, he did.
And someone went out to header it, missed it. He had no idea what was happening. It hit him in the face. It went in.
Yeah.
And he celebrated like he meant it as well.
It wasn't like from like 3 yards out. It was what?
12 yards out? Yeah.
Lovely one.
Great stuff.
Peter Lovenkrantz scored a goal as well at West Brom.
Yeah, he did.
Where it just got looped off a keeper caught in the net.
No, but he shot and didn't the keeper push it up?
Yeah, that's right.
Most keepers would have tipped it up.
Yeah, that's right.
Also in Spain, Ivan De La Peña has retired from football at age 35 due to injuries and whatnot.
Great player.
In youth team at Barcelona.
Like a sort of cultured tank.
With a head like an egg.
Notable egg. Broke into the first team.
He's a notable egg. Stick him in your list, Pete.
Okay, then.
He won the league.
Yep.
He won the Copa del Rey. He won the Cup Winners' Cup. Had spells at Lazio and Marseille before returning to Barcelona, then moved to Espanyol, winning the Copa del Rey in 2005.
Mm. Welcome,
he was an absolute hero at Espanyol as well, despite his Barcelona links.
Yeah.
It's great.
Also in Spain.
He is 35, to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a great tragedy that he retires at 35.
It's always a tragedy.
It's always a tragedy.
No one's arguing with his age.
Hey.
It's always a tragedy when it's a notable egg.
Giuseppe Rossi was hit by a bull on a farm.
Yeah, he tweeted that. I saw that tweet and I thought it was like an in-joke or something.
Did you see the tweet?
Yeah.
Got hit by a damn bull. We are at this farm and running around with them. Got caught but still on my feet.
Rio Ferdinand would be delighted with that for one thing, but that I love that there's just nothing more to that story.
Yeah,
been burned chucking around hot oil. So
get out of the farm.
Get out of the farm.
Don't run around with bulls. It's not something you should need to be taught.
And Barcelona and Manchester United Champions League final preview time now.
Yeah,
what do we fancy?
I'm going for a Barcelona win again.
They've got all their defenders back. They seem to be all injured, and then like now they're all sort of sneaking back into the team.
Both teams will be quite well rested, so hopefully it'll be pretty
better affair than the last one that we saw, James.
No, it was a great game.
But Barcelona had them.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah. Oh, what you mean a more even contest?
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know. Will it be this time around? It's so difficult to say because every time you think someone's going to put up a real fight against Barcelona, they just get spanked. It's just so tough to call.
Man, you've got a good couple of farm players. I'd like to see Ji-Sung Park start.
Yeah, he almost certainly will.
I've been racking my brains about this on the team he's going to go for. Obviously, you've got the back four. They don't have, you know, someone like Owen Hargreaves, what they do, but they don't, to break up the Barcelona play. But I think he'll probably go for Giggs and Carrick in the middle.
Yeah.
And he rested them both against Blackpool, which was interesting. I don't think he'll put Scholes in. I think Scholes will probably get sent off within 2 minutes.
I think he'll start with Chicharito.
And he rested Rooney and Hernandez as well. I think he'll play them. Rooney dropping deep into midfield.
Hit him on the break. Yeah, that's the only way.
And
to do
Valencia
it.
And I think Nani will miss out.
Right,
but Nani's an impact sub. You could bring him on though.
Yep, very true.
I think that Barcelona might be murked by an ash cloud and have to travel by coach. Be very tired and may not at all win.
Like Internazionale.
Yeah. Could happen.
No, but
I think it'll be
closer this season. This time around, I think it'll be closer. I think that Manchester United are a better team than a lot of people give them credit for, actually.
Very robust.
And who do you think he'll start in those key positions?
I think you're right. I think he's tended to not go with people like Berbatov and Nani in the big games, has he? So I think you're right, yeah.
You don't think he might bring in Fletcher?
He obviously played Fletcher to try and get him some match fitness, didn't he?
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to say was, is that Hernandez...
Fletcher and Carrick maybe.
Hernandez has surprised him to such a degree that he almost can't leave him out of the team.
That's right. Yeah.
And I don't think he predicted that at the beginning of the season. Yeah. I think he thought this season would be like a bedding in period for him.
But do you think
a sort of Makeda style signing.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you think this time round that they might just play their own game and really go for it?
Well, they tried that the last time, didn't they?
No, but I know what you're saying, but I think that they played like they did against Arsenal in the semi-final with Ronaldo up front on his own. I think they might play like they did against Chelsea. and just maybe try and play more like Manchester United.
Don't forget, Barcelona's record in England isn't great. No. I mean, they've lost. Yeah. They lost against Arsenal in the Champions League this season.
True. Well, that's right, and it would be like a home game for United.
It's interesting that Ferguson referred to it as the Barcelona final. It kind of makes it seem like they're in his head a little bit,
yeah, you know,
because it's such a monumental
terminology. Yeah,
Michael Owen said that that they've been working in training, obviously, funnily enough.
the rest of the map,
yeah. But yeah. Owen said he was being played kind of like as a left forward.
Yeah, he won't play
like David Villa.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
Did they just tell him that?
That's a kick.
Yeah, yeah. We need
got a big role for you this transition, Michael. Have you, bro, Foss? Yeah, yeah. You're gonna be David Villa. Get your bib on.
you're basically an impression.
Yeah. Can you clean out that gutter? Please,
yeah.
Pete, who do you reckon?
No, I think Barcelona's still edge it, but I would like to see Manchester United have a bit more of a go at it.
It would be really good for them to win it on home soil because all of their fans live in London.
Oh, good gag.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hang on, let me just tick
up. You can't
see
this, but we're all giving each other high fives right now. Yeah. Luke, who's going to win?
I think that
yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Elsewhere in Europe, France. Lille won the league for the first time since 1954.
At top brass, Andy Brass was delighted with that.
Of course he is.
You can't shut him up about it.
Six points over Marseille.
And he supports AFC Wimbledon. Yeah, he's a very happy man.
He's like a dog with two dicks at the moment.
Oh, wonderful expression. He loves a bit of French football.
Big man for Lille. Eden Hazard looks like he's on his way to the Premier League as well. Mm. Exciting player.
Belgium's Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
Is it too early for him? It'd be nice to. It'd be nice for someone to be able to hang on to a player at some point ever in the face of the Premier League, wouldn't it?
Yeah, let's be realistic though, Jim. Yeah. He's on his way.
I looked at his Wikipedia today.
Were you doing all your research for the show?
I was, yeah.
That's all we ever do.
Yep. All right.
Where's my
review?
Yes.
And it's claiming on there he signed for Liverpool. Like, wow. It's bold.
So it's definitely true then.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he reads that, he'll have to go there.
Exactly. But that becomes a contract.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah.
It's probably Pete that put it up
there. Yeah.
Germany, Schalke beat second division Duisburg in the final of the German Cup 5-0. Hunt and I got two.
That is where her lip from the League of Gentlemen is from.
Duisburg.
Schalke into Europe.
The Europa League this time.
Europa League this
time. Which is a strange one because they did so well in the Champions League this season.
Didn't he?
Was it a foul?
Right.
Well, a critic of some he was. I just like at the time he was drinking like a nice beer at the same time as well.
Yeah. He might stay as well. All the talk of him going, they might sign another year.
No, I love it if no one come in for him. And now I've decided I want to stay.
Everyone assumed that everyone else was going in for them, so they never did.
So there's your bleeding person staying, James.
Yeah. Well, that's he's probably going to move.
Probably. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
That might. That that's Raul's first ever domestic cup win, isn't it?
Oh, that's interesting. It's a good stat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. 16 attempts at Real Madrid that he didn't win the Copa del Rey.
King's Cup.
The King's Cup. Elsewhere in Europe, Italy. Andrea Pirlo looks like he'll be joining Juventus after Milan said he could go. It's a funny one.
It always happens in Italy that.
Yeah.
They don't seem to care about the players going to the.
I don't know if Juventus are maybe just 32.
Are Juventus seen as the threat they once were though in Italy?
Well, they've not really recovered. We mentioned this in the Del Piero profile a couple of weeks ago. They've not really recovered from the Calciopoli scandal, have they?
No, I don't think it's the point. I'm saying I'm surprised he's going to another Italian club. I'm surprised that Milan was so.
And to do it so early, I think possibly as well.
But I think from what I could make out, Pirlo just fancied the change. Really,
was it Pirlo? I thought it was the.
It was that contract.
Yeah, he's getting on, isn't he?
Mm. Best for everybody, maybe.
Mm. But he's a great player. I love Pirlo.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he really makes a game tick. Mm. He controls the game. It's great.
Maestro,
deep lying playmaker,
a regista they call that in Italy.
Plays at his own pace. I like that.
Yeah, Italy's the place for him.
Yeah.
Now then, it's FIFA time, and what a time it is.
That shouldn't be a time. It gives him too much respect.
Mm. It makes it sound like you're going to do a rap.
Yeah.
Really?
Like a sort of 90s rap about FIFA.
He's not.
Pete,
he's really not.
Can we get a jingle about that?
Yeah. The FA are going to abstain from the voting.
Oh, that'll teach him.
Standing up to the big boys.
I do like that the FA have shown some balls there. I
do.
Must say.
I do. Even though the other two don't. Africa are going to backstep, though.
Africa's not a country, though, is it? What?
No, but the people.
The people.
No, the
Michael Howard, then.
People.
Yeah, they're all in for him. Sepp recently said that. Did you see this? He was talking about FIFA scandals and whatnot, and he claimed that actually he gave a bribe back once.
Or a bride, as you wrote on your notes.
Twice.
Yeah. Yeah. You wrote, gave back a bride.
Yeah.
That's libelous.
Well, I was at a wedding on the weekend.
Fancy the bride? So it's on your mind. Ooh, controversial.
He gave back a bribe, which suggests that he definitely accepted a bribe.
It's <then. laughs> yeah.
Mm. Well, he's, at the very least, he's confirming that bribes are offered.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't sort of come out with this early on, did he? Yeah. It's like sort of going, this Fabergé egg's a bit rubbish. Have it back.
Fabergé
egg.
It also implies that the default position is take the bribe, then make a decision later.
Yeah. Keep it.
And the way he said it is like he wants credit for not taking the bribe. Yeah,
that one time. Yeah. All the other times.
This is his version of events. He said, I received once an envelope where I was Secretary General, and in the envelope there was an amount of money. I couldn't refuse because he put it in my pocket.
Crafty. Seems odd.
Crafty. Mm. Seamless. I came home here to FIFA. I love that. And gave it to the finance director. Well drilled. Yeah. And he
who's also my brother.
He gave me the wink. No, he said that he put this money on the account of the Swiss Bank Corporation at the time and informed the guy, the money you gave to the Secretary General is in that bank. And a few days later, he reclaimed it.
Can you imagine trying to organise like a collection for someone's birthday at FIFA? Why would just be taking the envelope, not even asking questions?
So this is what happens. The guy put the envelope in his pocket. And Seth was like, oh crap, it's a bribe. Mm. What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to go back and then we're going to have to put the money in a bank and then the guy's going to have to come along and that's where you get it.
It doesn't say anything at the time.
No.
If someone comes up to you in the street or in an office or whatever and puts an envelope in your pocket, you say at the very least, sorry mate, what's happening there? Yeah. That's the least.
Yeah, that's such a bad reason to not... not be able to do anything about it. Of course you can.
Maybe the thing is though, the FA abstaining from the vote maybe does send a message to FIFA, because FIFA probably thought, well, the FA, they're unfit for purpose as well, so they'll definitely be on side. they're not voting. Yeah. Outrageous.
Oh dear. Now, as I gather my thoughts, I've noticed that Luke's gone to Diego Corner. Back again.
It hasn't been easy. I was out on the streets looking for work, but finally I found it, and I'm pleased.
Who's that?
Oh, Diego's back.
El Diego.
El Diego said that.
Was it. We promised a quote.
Out on the streets.
We promised a quote, and he apparently El Diego was out on the street looking for work. That's how bad it had got. But yeah, he's got work now, obviously, at Al Wassel.
El Workio.
Which we're all pleased for. Now, he set his sights high for his first signing. There's been reports saying that there are players, not literally, Richard, but players queuing up to play for him. And he's made a big tout that he's going to go for Diego Forlan.
I'm still in his prime.
Don't shoot the messenger.
He's just won the golden ball.
But while he's... I think Maradona is the only person in football I can think of who would use a press conference or an announcement that he's got a new job to talk about taking drugs. So he did that as well. He said in a World Cup qualifier in 1993 against Australia, he said that they knew in advance there were no drug controls for the game, and so they got the team doctor to put a banned substance in all their coffee. Right.
What, just for recreational purposes?
LSD.
Bearing in mind, one of the people involved is now currently FIFA Vice President and AFA President, Julio Grondona.
Staggering.
He's saying that there was no drug controls for that game.
Why would they know that?
Why would the players
know that?
Maybe every manager checks before the game. Are the drug... Nah, there is again. we're on... Get that coffee made up.
But he's, and also he's found time to just have a pop at Pete.
Pete? What?
No, sorry. He's taken time to have a bit of a pop at Batista as well. The manager saying, "I can't understand this Tevez situation. How can they say there is a better forward than him? They've got to be drunk or complete idiots." And he said, "Everyone criticised me, but today's team, which is a joke, is not criticised. That is the difference. I know how things are, and in my opinion, they've taken 1,000 steps backwards. It upsets me. We had earned respect and a human quality inside a really good team. No. Now everyone's throwing that out the window."
No, you went.
You got battered at
I
the
actually
first
think
time
the man's
adversity.
Mentally ill.
Yeah.
But long may it continue. Not mentally illness. Diego. Anyway, I'm coming back now.
He's great value.
He is.
Not Luke, Maradona. Mm. Right then. Is it time for an email?
I believe it is, Marcus.
Emails.
Emails. Oh, lovely.
Oh, very good. Who's going first? Jimbo.
Shall I?
Yeah.
Might as well, you got it in your hand. Who else is going to read it?
Mm. Okay, this is actually from an anonymous person. Just listen to the show, and you'll see why this is anonymous. Just listen to the show, and just thought I'd let you know about what happened with the 19 times Man United FC banner at Liverpool last Sunday. The lads got tickets for the match, waited for You'll Never Walk Alone to come over the PA, and then walked to the front and put the banner over the side. They were asked by some around what it said, and were told in no uncertain terms. They were holding onto the banner because they couldn't find anywhere to tie it for about 40 seconds before the stewards came over and kicked them out. The banner fell onto the Spurs fans from where it was confiscated and destroyed. The lads rang Anfield in the week to ask for it back. Surprisingly, not much was said to them on the way out, but one of the lads was spat on by some scout woman. There was no getaway car. The lads went drinking around the ground with some Everton fans that one of them knew. Some Liverpool fans were fuming and a manhunt was launched around the ground for those involved, but they weren't found. Before the match, one of the lads was spotted by a Liverpool fan who knew them. He inquired about why they were there before saying, "You got a banner, haven't you?" So that's from CH. I understand why you don't want to give your name forward.
Chris Hilton. Oh my god,
that's great stuff.
That's amazing, isn't it?
That could be,
but that's
the scoop, because the inside scoop.
It is, because that's not what's not been reported at all. So that's
he said there's no getaway car.
No,
in fact they lauded it up by going
drinking
near the stadium.
Brave.
Very brave.
Brass balls.
If only we had a PR department. This could be a press release. Because that's what PR stands for, and that's what I have learned as our press release man.
Pete, we've got a new job for you.
Do an email, Pete.
I've got an email from Harry Morris, or HM.
Or Horace.
Dear Ramble Men, I would like to inform you that I too shared some of your memories from the recent Chelsea-Newcastle game. I too had several cab drivers and an American fan sat close to me, and I enjoyed the lols.
That seems to be like just a standard at Chelsea.
Well, they're made up of.
Every block is like three
cabbies in America.
Good album.
The American asked his fellow clueless mate why both teams didn't have an offence and defence coordinator, and some angry cab drivers shouted aggressively at the pair of Yanks when one of them called it soccer. It's football, you fucking spoons! But the highlight of my day was when the most biased fan in the history of mankind threw an absolute wobbly when Joey Barton tackled Josh McEachran on the halfway line. Not one other fan in the lower shed end complained about the perfectly timed challenge, but the cab driver ran to the front of the shed while shouting hysterically at the referee that he needed to fuck off and get a life, then asking the security guards why the referee was cheating. Keep up the great work. What?
Yeah. Why would they know?
I don't know.
The referee definitely needs to get a life in that. If there's anyone in that situation that needs to get a life, it's definitely the referee.
No, not just get a life, fuck off and get a life. Yeah. It's different.
That's where you go, that's how you do it.
Thank you very much, Harry Morris.
Yeah, well done.
Cheers for that, Harry. That reminds me of when we were there, again, something we didn't mention, where the Newcastle fans started singing "There's Only One Joey Barton."
Yeah.
And the guy in front of us, this Chelsea tax driver guy, stood up in the middle of everyone, just went, "Ah, Sam's you lot up. Sam's you up."
Chelsea fans just don't let you down, do they? Yeah. When you go down there, they will confirm stereotypes. It's brilliant.
All social commentators, aren't they? Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Ooh, hot damn.
Hot diggity.
Oh, yeah.
Hot dog.
Now, who have we got today? I'll tell you who we've got today. It's Howard Kendall.
Wowzers.
Ooh. Evertonian legend.
Mm-hmm, legend.
Notable egg, sort of.
Yeah, hairy egg.
Get in there.
Yeah.
And Toffee Man, of course.
Yeah.
Toffee Man is the nickname of Everton FC.
Thanks, now, Marcus. He's cleared it up for us.
It was his birthday this week.
Happy birthday.
Which makes it a little bit more special, I think, profile. He was born on the 22nd of May, 1946.
21 years before the summer of love.
Yeah.
Mm.
That reminds me, you're supposed to say, though, that he won the sperm race, Jim.
I've done it, retired.
No, he hasn't.
Because when I tweeted about George Alakobi yesterday,
yes.
Someone tweeted me saying he did 2 laps of the ovaries while winning the sperm race.
Very good.
Nice.
Now, absolutely, an Everton great as a player and a manager, achieved unbelievable success, particularly as a manager, and was at the helm for the Toffee Men's famous relegation last day survival in the 97-98 season.
Mm. It's interesting because I remember Kendall was managing Everton around about that time, and also kind of previously in the early 90s when he was kind of, they were kind of more of a mid-table side.
That's right,
so
yeah.
I remember growing up thinking that Kendall was a bit of a sort of journeyman, like Peter Reid style manager, but that's really, really not the case.
No, it isn't. No, you're absolutely right there. Absolutely right. He started his playing career with Preston North End. The highlight of his time there would have been playing Japan in the 1964 FA Cup final, where he became the youngest ever player to play in an FA Cup final. And he was 17 years old, and that remained remained the case until 1980. Paul Allen with West Ham beat him by 89 days.
But imagine playing in the FA Cup final at 17. It's crazy, isn't it?
Just imagine playing
professional
football.
But I just remember how much I was even more of an idiot when I was 17. You know, it's just amazing to have that much responsibility as a footballer at that age. You know,
oh, completely. And Preston did lose the game, but as one of the newspaper headlines ran, it said Preston lost the match but found a star, and I was talking about Kendall, of course. Otherwise it would be utterly pointless for me to mention it now.
I doubt they meant they found a star. It's a dead sun, you know, you're not going to find that sun on the pitch.
Very dense, hard to pick up.
Now he moved to Everton in 1967, the summer of love.
Oh, there we go.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Probably something to do with it, I would have thought.
Yeah, without a shadow of a
Just saw the vibes and hormones. Yeah. He sent him down there.
And he thought Liverpool.
Saw the jasmine blowing through his mind.
Liverpool's definitely the home of all this. So it became a part of a midfield three, which was nicknamed the Holy Trinity. And it was Howard Kendall, Colin Harvey and Alan Ball.
Alan Ball, what a player. Great stuff.
World Cup winner.
Indeed.
And Ginger.
Alan Ball.
Come on.
They won the league.
Is that revenge for me disrespecting Keegan?
Yeah. I'm going to derail this.
He won the league with Everton as a player a few years later, and went on to captain the side. But he's probably most noted for his managerial career. I say that though, he was a part of the Holy Trinity, so actually he had
he played a decent amount of times for Everton. He was a good servant for them. Didn't he go back later on at the end of his career as well, like for a stint?
He did, yeah. Well, he started his managerial career as player manager of Blackburn Rovers. Player manager. Mm. And then he moved to Everton. Again, as player manager, he only played a few games for them. And it was in the early 80s, and when he was really getting going at Everton, and he was close to getting the sack. It wasn't going so well, and one of those, you know, like Alex Ferguson was close to getting the sack for Manchester United.
Mark Robin scored a goal in the cup,
exactly, and all that kind of stuff, and they turned it round, and you know, it's one of those pivotal.
The rest is history.
You know what I'm saying? He made some incredible signings in 1981. Neville Southall was bought, and Kendall said it was my first and my best signing. And he said Big Nev was probably the best keeper in the world at that time. Possibly a little bit generous, but not a ridiculous thing
I can
to say,
remember a decent period. Well, sort of remember, I was very young, but there was a decent period of time when Southall was certainly one of the world's best keepers. There's no doubt about that. He was absolutely imperious.
Certainly best in the league.
He also brought to Goodison Dave Watson, who's an absolute hero.
Rock.
With the fans.
Rock.
Indeed. Peter Reid,
yeah,
and Andy Gray.
Oh, good.
Hey, he signed me, so I've turned up, and now I'm training. That's how a contract works. Something like that, I reckon. It's quite funny when they bought Peter Reid.
Monkey teed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The club had to change banks.
Eats bananas with his feet.
Yeah.
got a tie for a seat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Sorry, you can't
managing
not
in
do
the
that.
Lower leagues.
The club had to change banks from Midland to the TSB because they needed 60 grand and the Midland wouldn't give it to them. So the club
God, how times change, eh?
Also brought in Trevor Stephen.
Yeah.
Good player. Went on to Rangers and Marseille after that.
England, of course.
Yeah. And also the likes of Kevin Radcliffe and Gary Stevens came through the ranks. Kevin Radcliffe was a great player as well. I think he went on to captain the side. It got Kevin Sheedy in from Liverpool. He was a bench warmer for Liverpool. Turned him into an international player. He built a championship winning team. I think that was the great thing about this Kendall era Everton. He really brought all these players together and made it his own.
It was mid-80s they won the championship, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. He turned Everton into a championship winning team, and the team under him became the most successful in the club's history. Two league championships, FA Cup, four Charity Shields. Okay, he's Charity Shield, but still, you know, any club.
Take it.
The first European trophy in Everton's history. The European Cup Winners' Cup.
A proper trophy as well.
You wouldn't drop that.
Among men.
They were European Cup Winners' Cup winners.
Yes!
Now you're talking, eh?
You know what I'm saying? He took Everton to three successive FA Cup finals, albeit winning just one, but still, it's a kind of an achievement. He perhaps a slightly unorthodox preparations into some of these games. Before the FA Cup tie, at Stoke City in 1984. But just before the game, he simply opened the dressing room windows to allow his players to hear the masses of travelling Everton fans. And they just sat there and listened to the fans singing. And he went, right, that's your team talk. Don't let the fans down.
Nice.
And also, there's no drug testing today, so...
You have a line of this.
Chaps, have you met Diego? Yeah.
He's on your spots. Yeah.
Probably would have been glue around the time.
It's like the old Brian Clough. He locked everyone in the pub and in the hotel bar and bought loads of drinks. And went, you're not going to bed till that's drunk.
Yeah.
Like the night before a cup game.
Wow.
Everton won that game, of course, and then went on to win their FA Cup that year, which ended their 14-year barren spell of silverware on the blue half of Liverpool. Before the FA Cup final itself in 1984, the left-back John Bailey apparently ordered a strippogram for the manager.
Interesting decision.
And Kendall, when recounting the story, just said, I think a policewoman, I think she was. That was it.
He's not being moved anymore.
That's all he said. Yeah. All he said. And then on the morning of the final, comedian Freddie Starr. Freddie Starr.
Generous.
Yeah, okay. He did a bit of stand up for them, and Kendall said that was to help take the players' minds off the game. No doubt it would have done that. Or another little thing he used to do, because he was a very good man manager and getting the team together, good camaraderie, good morale in the camp. He would use any money that the club acquired from player fines to take the players out for meals to socialise.
Ah,
yeah, absolutely. He remembers possibly that his favourite night at Goodison Park when he was in charge was the Cup Winners' Cup semi-final against Bayern Munich. They drew the first leg 0-0 and they won the home leg 3-1. And he said at half time, because they were playing very well, he said, "I can't improve anything what you're doing, but you're playing towards our fans now, and they'll suck the ball in." I love the terminology there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they won the league in 1984-85 season, finishing 13 points clear of second place Liverpool.
Get on that. That was smart.
It was incredible in the 80s, it's a period of time in the 80s. It was Liverpool and Everton.
Yeah.
You've never seen
that. They were really, really dominant, the two teams. Well, I mean, it was players like Lineker at Everton.
Yeah,
absolutely,
that's right.
Just world class. I think he went to Barcelona from Everton, didn't he?
He did.
Rush at Liverpool as well.
People aren't necessarily from Liverpool as a city or an area. Certainly, pretty much all of my friends were either Liverpool or Everton when I was in primary school, junior school.
Yeah, it was very popular. Yeah.
So like, you find a lot of people sort of our age that aren't necessarily from the area, are Liverpool or Everton fans.
Mm. I remember getting, Liverpool was so popular, especially for me, even down in Portsmouth, a long way away. I remember getting as well as all my Portsmouth stuff I got as a kid for Christmas, I remember getting like a Liverpool annual as well. Yeah. It's just like, well, it's just a thing to do because they were such a cool team.
Liverpool were the Man United back then.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now they've been knocked off the perch, apparently.
Yeah.
But Everton were right up there, as you say, and they did bring in Gary Lineker. I think Andy Gray went out and Lineker came in, make what you will of that. Mm. And I think Lineker was only there for a season, I think it was, and scored sort of 30 league goals. He was incredible.
It needs to be stressed every so often that he was a brilliant player.
Yeah. but in that season, though, Everton finished second in the league and in the FA Cup, both to Liverpool. And Lineker missed out on trophies there. And then he was sold to Barcelona for a big sum. And people thought Kendall was a bit silly, but he put faith in Adrian Heaton and Graham Sharp, and the following season they won the league again. You know, 9 points above Liverpool this time. It was, you know, always those two. It should also be said that Kendall remains the last English manager to have won a European trophy. Which you forget, don't you? Because obviously Manchester United won the Champions League and Liverpool and so on, but not an Englishman. Indeed, the sad thing for Kendall was, or the frustrating thing for Kendall was, that because of the ban on English clubs in Europe at that time, Everton didn't get a chance to then go and represent England.
Yeah, that's such a shame, isn't it? Yeah. And what a difference that could have made to the club, now.
Incredible. And Brian Clough said on television, he said about Everton, during the European Cup Winners' Cup final, he said, "Goodness, how long will this team stay together and dominate Europe?"
Right,
because he really thought they could go on and maybe do what Liverpool did, you know. But they didn't get the chance to do that, which was very frustrating, in particular for Kendall. And it was kind of because of that he actually accepted the job at Athletic Bilbao in 1987 to go and ply his trade in
Europe. He wasn't there for long, was he? A couple of years.
He was there a couple of. I mean, he finished fourth and seventh in in his two full seasons there, but after a run of poor results, he got sacked. So not the best of times, but not terrible though. Then went to Man City for a short time and steered them to safety in the league, and then took charge of Everton again in 1990. He didn't win anything this time. He was there for a couple of seasons and resigned in 93, and then had spells in Greece, Notts County, where I think he won the Anglo-Italian Cup.
Proper trophy again.
You know what I mean?
Great stuff. Bring it back.
Probably the highlight of the man's career.
Yeah.
Sheffield United, and then in 97 he came back to Everton after Joe Royle had left the club. 97-98 wasn't a good season for Everton, I think we can all agree. They had a few injury problems, one thing or another, but they also had a terrible run of results.
Yeah.
Awful start.
A famously bad run of results.
Yeah, exactly.
If memory serves me correctly.
And Kendall kind of picked them up around Christmas time, around there, but they coughed and spluttered again and went into the last day fighting for survival. And it was quite a famous last day there, because they stayed up on goal difference with a 1-1 home draw against Coventry City. And it was because Chelsea beat Bolton 2-0 at Stamford Bridge.
I bet Grzebicz was involved somehow.
Yeah, indeed he was. Well, he would have probably played.
Well, I imagine that's why I said it.
Yeah. We're on the same page then.
It's his massive nose saving like goal.
Breaking every time without him noticing.
Yeah.
Corby Jones.
Yeah, so they managed to keep Everton in the top flight and keep their 44-year unbroken run, as it was back then.
Well, that's huge. But I mean, look, with hindsight, I mean, they're it's almost taken for granted that they're an established Premier League side now. But they came very close to dropping out of there, and that could have been catastrophic. You know, it could have been Sheffield Wednesday or Leeds United.
Exactly. And then he left the club for the final time after that, and replaced by Walter Smith. In 2005 he was inducted into the English Football Hall of Fame, and he's just about to be inducted into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, but I'll leave the last words to the big
Diego
man.
Diego Maradona. No, not this time.
It should be. He feels lesser for it, but he said, "You can have love affairs with other football clubs, but for me, with Everton, it's a marriage."
Oh, can you come?
Howard Kendall, ladies and gentlemen.
Interesting.
He was quite instrumental in sort of bringing Peter Reid on as a manager as well. Reid went to Man City, I think that was his first job, wasn't it?
Don't spoil it.
And we thank him for that.
He's a good manager, Peter Reid.
Peter is a good
player. No, I'm only joking.
I was chatting about this morning with the Plymouth fan. He's ploughed a lot of his own money into Plymouth.
I do like Peter Reid.
Yeah. Got monkey's head.
Should have taken out Maradona though in the 86.
Yeah, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, and the website is thefootballramble.com, James or Jim.
It is. There's some blogs on there as well. Do you want to hear about them?
Go on then.
Okay, so this week in the Ramble blog, I take a look at the highs and lows of the past season. Rupert Fryer previews the new Brazilian season, which started last weekend, and James Appel explains that things aren't going too well for Rudhulla in Chechnya, something I'm sure we're all shocked by.
He's in Chechnya.
Yeah. It's all gone wrong already.
Things won't go right there.
Mikhail Zakodny brings us news from Poland as Wisla Krakow are crowned champions. Chris Nee tells how MLS is feeling Minnesota, by which I mean considering a franchise there. Michael Cox laments the misfortune of Stevan Jovetic, Fiorentina star, who's had an awful year despite being a really promising player. And Joel Richards tells us of the latest Superclásico adventure involving one San Martin Palermo. Oh.
Don't miss that.
No, indeed. We're happy about it. I've got some other things to talk about as well. Do you want to hear them as well? One is about Bob Wilson. You may remember a while ago we were talking about a charity night that was on at the Comedy Store, which we all went down to, and
you performed that?
I did, yes, and part of it was for Centrepoint, but Bob Wilson is also working with the people that set it up. So he was doing a thing called the Bob Wilson Soccer Cycle, where I think he basically cycled to every league ground. I think he's 69 years old, and he's raised some money for it. And basically, if you get over to bobwilsonsoccercycle.com or justgiving.com/Bob Wilson Soccer Cycle, you can donate there. And if you follow @GarethDParker on Twitter, he's the guy that sort of fixes all these things up and these events, does a lot of kind of charity stuff with Arsenal and Bob Wilson and all that sort of stuff. So get over to that. And also, on the subject of my ego, which we weren't, but we now are.
We always are in a way.
Exactly, when I'm speaking. I am in a competition. It's called the BBC Radio 2 New Comedy Award at the moment, right?
Oh,
and
you.
Basically, what you'd need to do is go over to the website and vote for me to go through to the semi final, because that'd be lovely. So you can, it's quite a complicated URL, actually. So if you just go to my blog this week, there's a little plug at the bottom. So go over there and do the right thing.
And he's really judge it on his merits.
Yeah. But only watch me.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Around.
I just wanted to say that it's summer now almost, and we've got loads of t-shirts for sale on the website. So buy some, because we are destitute.
We are proper skint.
So buy some.
Any more?
Macho Man Randy Savage, RIP.
Oh no,
that's it.
I'm dead.
Disrespectful.
If factual.
When in Rome.
Say goodbye, James. Audrey.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Oh yeah.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye. And
goodbye from me. We're off to the streets to find some work. Cheers.
Dog doing the shopping with you. He's depressed. He needs a bag. He
needs a bit of
on
a
his
pep
back
talk.
To carry something home for you. Bin liners, J-cloths, your little toilet duck capsules.
Yeah.
No food items because it could go messy.
Tissue. I mean,
yeah. Because if he's depressed, yeah, tissues.
My toilet roll.
If he's comfort eat.
If he's depressed and then he accidentally eats the food again, he's going to get told off again.
Yeah.
It's the last thing you want, really.
Yeah, no.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to help him to help himself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give a dog a load of food and then shout at him if he ate it.
No, but we're not giving him the food. We're putting it on his back to carry home.
He's carrying it home so he doesn't get sad.
The dog-sized rucksack.
You don't get this memo, Pete.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.